Our scripture reading for today, to which I invite you to turn with me at this time, is found in the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 61. Job, Psalms, Proverbs in the Old Testament, Psalm 61. When I had some time off a couple of weeks ago, and I thank you for that, by the way, I had many, many hours to read and pray and think and meditate on God's Word. And one of the psalms I read and meditated upon was this psalm, Psalm 61, and especially verse 2. Did you ever have it where you read a portion of Scripture and you can't get it out of your mind? You can't forget about what you have read. It grips your soul, as it were. And such is the case here in Psalm 2, in verse 2 of Psalm 61, which will constitute our text for today. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That'll be our text for today. But we begin our scripture reading then in the first verse of Psalm 61, and we read to the end of that psalm. Hear then the word of the Lord. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then will I ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. And as always, brothers and sisters, I ask and urge you to keep your Bibles open and handy as we look to God's word together on this Lord's day. Dear congregation of Jesus Christ, several days ago, as I was walking down to the end of our driveway in order to retrieve my garbage cans, I bumped into our neighbor who was in the process of doing the same thing. And we got into a conversation about the relatively rare weather events which we have been experiencing recently. And in the course of our conversation, I said to him, wow, an earthquake, a hurricane, flooding, and now a severe winter storm in October, which has knocked out our power for several days. What in the world is going on here? And with a warm and sincere neighborly smile spread across his face, he said to me, well, you're the one who's supposed to be closer to God. You tell me. You tell me. Well, friends, as we consider these rare weather events, which we have all been experiencing, but not only so, as we also carefully consider and contemplate various circumstances, situations of our lives, places in which we find ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, materially, spiritually, relationally. Have you ever found yourself asking the question, what in the world is going on here? I have. I have, in fact, asked that question many times. But notice. As we turn to the words of our text for today, as recorded for us in Psalm 61, we find that were we to ask that question, we would by no means have been the first to have done so. We would by no means have been the first to have done so. In fact, as we look very carefully at the second verse of Psalm 61, we find that even and especially in the times of our own desolation, even and especially in the times of extreme desperation, even and especially at those times when it seems as if our own resources have come to an end. Then the Bible says, like the psalmist David of old, you and I, brothers and sisters, need to personally and patiently and passionately and persistently cry out to the God who has created us, praying and pleading that He would lead us to higher ground, so that in time and for all eternity, we would surely be found resting on the rock. Resting on the rock. Now then, as we look very carefully at verse 2 of Psalm 61, let us notice first of all that David's prayer and plea to be brought to higher ground originated from a particular place. His prayer, his plea originated from a particular place. Let's set just a bit of the context by looking at verse 1, and then we'll go right on into verse 2. Psalm 61. Here, Shema, it's an imperative, it's a command in the original. It conveys a sense of hearing with the understanding that it will be responded to, that that command would be obeyed. Hear my cry, O God. Hear my cry, O God. The Hebrew word translated here as God is Elohim. It's the only Hebrew name for God used in this entire psalm, Elohim. Interestingly enough, it's the word used in Genesis 1:1 in reference to God. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And so David is very consciously crying out to the God who created him and all that there is. Hear my cry, O God. Listen, another imperative, another command or fervent plea. Listen, attend to my prayer. And then friends, notice verse 2. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. Now, as we very carefully seek to discern, as we carefully ponder precisely what David had meant by using this particular terminology, from the ends of the earth, I call to you, we come to the realization, brothers and sisters, that he may have been speaking figuratively, or he may have been speaking literally. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, think about it. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. David could have been saying that in a figurative sense, meaning that he was feeling mentally or emotionally or spiritually forgotten, forsaken, forlorn. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, he may have felt cut off from all that was very near and dear to him. Perhaps. The great reformer John Calvin, on the other hand, believes that David was writing these words in a very literal sense. From the ends of the earth I call to you. Calvin believes that this may have been penned when David was fleeing from his son Absalom, who had risen up against him. That's recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 17, the last several verses of 2 Samuel chapter 17, that David had fled to the wilderness of Mahanaim on the east side of the Jordan. And so physically, he was far from all that was near and dear to him. He was literally abandoned, as it were. He was literally far from his family. He was literally far from all that was near and dear to him concerning the worship of God and the fellowship with God that he had so intimately enjoyed in a blessed sense for so many years. Think about that. Think about that. Question. Have you ever felt that way before? Figuratively or literally? Do you feel that way today? Forsaken. Forgotten. Forlorn. Your foes nipping at your heels, as it were. Feeling as if every time you dial heaven's hotline, you're put on hold. Or the call is dropped. Or your text doesn't get through. Do you ever feel as if the vibrant fellowship you once enjoyed with our Heavenly Father is no longer there? A sense of His Spirit's presence, a sense of His Spirit's power is gone. You know, the songwriter has well captured the sense of such sentiments when he wrote these words. Listen carefully. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I sought the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill. Well, friends, if you or I ever feel that way, again, always remember that we are not the first to do so. For when David prayed this prayer so many years ago, he cried out, "From the ends of the earth I call to you, from the ends of the earth I call to you." He was pleading with God to bring him to higher ground so that he might be found resting on the rock. But he prayed that from a particular place. But notice, secondly, our text teaches us that David's very fervent prayer and plea arose out of a personal predicament. Verse 1 into verse 2, once again, look with me, please. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. Now notice, I call as my heart grows faint. Now friends, notice this. While we do not know for sure whether David is praying from the ends of the earth, physically or literally, we do know that whatever was going on in his heart and mind and life at this point, his heart was growing faint. I think the King James translates that word faint as, my heart is overwhelmed. The Hebrew term could also be translated as, my heart is covered over, meaning that David's heart, as it were, was being overwhelmed with wave upon wave of adversity and problems and pains. He was sinking, as it were, being swamped in a sea of trials and troubles and tribulations and sorrows and sufferings and all the rest. Think about that. Think about this language. I call as my heart grows faint. You know, no doubt many of the boys and girls and young people can well remember the 10 plagues which God brought against Pharaoh in Egypt in order that they might set his people free. And the 8th plague, boys and girls, the 8th plague was the plague of locusts, I think Exodus 10 talks about that, the plague of locusts. And when you study the Old Testament scriptures, interestingly enough, locusts are used many times in order to denote the just judgment of God upon the wicked, as well as often being used, either figuratively or literally, as God bringing a just discipline upon his unbelieving and unrepentant and disobedient people. Now, I can remember reading many, many years ago a passage about locusts that I could not get out of my heart and mind. And I recently looked up where that was. It's in the book of Joel. Turn there with me, if you would, near the end of the Old Testament. It's one of the so-called minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Hosea, Joel, the book of Joel, the first chapter. Look with me, if you would, at the first 4 verses of Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Joel, son of Bethuel. Hear this, you elders, listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your forefathers? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. Think about that. Have you ever felt that way before? Physically, emotionally, mentally, materially, spiritually, relationally. Have you ever felt as if what the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten, and what the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten, what the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten? Do you feel that way today? Brothers and sisters, again, let us not forget Let us always remember, but if that's how we feel today, we are not the first to feel that way. That's how David felt some 3,000 years ago. We see that again in the words of our Psalms when he prayed, "From the ends of the earth, I call to you, I call as my heart grows faint." David's cry arose precisely out of such a personal predicament, out of such a personal predicament. But notice, thirdly and finally, our text teaches us that the desired outcome of David's prayer and plea was a protected position. The desired outcome of David's prayer and plea was a protected position. Look at Psalm 61, 1 and 2 with me once again. "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you, I call as my heart grows faint." Notice, "lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Friends, as I was studying that this week, I said to myself, wow, virtually every single word of that particular portion of our text, the last part of that text, is extremely significant. Extremely significant. And for example, notice once again, "lead me, lead me." What's the implication of that? Well, the implication of that is that I can't find my way on my own. It's as if I'm stumbling around in the darkness. He's saying, I need you, Almighty God, I need you, Elohim, to grasp me, to hold me, to lead me along the way, or I'm not going to make it. "Lead me," he said. And friends, it occurred to me also that that language is reminiscent of that particular portion of the Song of Moses as recorded for us in Exodus 15, verse 13, where we read, "In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed." Lead me. That language is reminiscent, is it not, of that which King David professes concerning the good shepherd of the sheep in Psalm 23, verse 2, where we read, "He leads me beside quiet waters." He leads me. Language was also reminiscent of the very close of Psalm 139, where again David says, "See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I call to you as my heart grows faint, lead me," and then notice, "to the rock." To the rock. David refers to God as his rock some 22 times in the Psalms. In fact, three of those times are right here in the neighboring psalm, Psalm 62. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 62 with me. David says, "My soul finds rest in God Elohim alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Verse 5, same psalm. "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone, secondly, is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He, thirdly, is my mighty rock, my refuge," you see. Now, when we allow Scripture to interpret Scripture, as always we must, turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. You come to 1 and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here in 1 Corinthians 10... first four verses, notice what the Apostle Paul declares. He says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink," notice, "for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." That rock was Christ. In other words, Christ is the one to whom we must fly because Christ is the rock that is higher than I, you see. Now, we bring that biblical information to bear back on the words of our text once again in Psalm 61. And again, we read verse 2, "From the ends of the earth I call to you, I call as my heart grows faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I." Now think of the implications of that. David was the king. David was the king. And yet he cries out to God, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." You see, think of the personal and practical implications of that. David knew that even though he was king, given his particular place and given his own personal predicament, he needed to look beyond his own strength. He needed to look beyond his own wisdom. He needed to look beyond his own resources.
in order to finally come to a place that was a protected position, you see.
In fact, one commentator has put it this way, and I quote, David comes to the critical recognition that he does not have the strength to rescue himself. He can only turn to God in trust. Writes Calvin, God was able to rescue him from danger, though all other help should be withdrawn and the whole world should stand between him and deliverance. And then finally this, Dr. James Montgomery Boyce writes these very insightful words, and I quote, listen carefully, please. It is natural to think of God being higher or greater than ourselves when we are suffering some severe reversal of fortune, when we are somehow down and out. We know we need God then. But when we are on top, we forget about God and consider ourselves able to deal with any need that can arise. David never made this mistake. He never forgot that God was infinitely above him and that it was always God he needed. The people of Israel may have looked to David as their rock, but David looked to a rock that was higher than he. End of quote. And oh, my dear, dear friends, that same thing needs to be true for you and for me. In fact, just several days ago, I was leafing through this book, which a couple in our congregation very graciously gave me for Christmas several years ago. It's called Then Sings My Soul, Then Sings My Soul, 150 of the World's Greatest Hymn Stories. So I'm leafing through this the other day, and providentially, I come across the following. Listen carefully, please. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed, wrote King David in Psalm 61. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What a prayer to memorize and hold in reserve in our hearts. It's appropriate for all of life's situations, even financial disaster. It was in such a crisis that Erastus Johnson wrote a hymn based on that verse. Erastus was born in a logging camp on the banks of the Penobscot River north of Bangor, Maine, in the spring of 1826. He wanted to enter the ministry, but his poor health and eyesight prevented his attending seminary. At age 17, he became a schoolteacher. In his mid-20s, he followed his brothers to California in search of gold. After living in San Francisco several years, he returned east and settled down in Pittsburgh, farming and working in oil. In 1861, he attended a YMCA convention in nearby Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And it was there that he wrote this hymn. His autobiography says, and again I quote, there was a convention of the YMCA at Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which I attended as a delegate. And John Wanamaker was president of the convention. About the second day, there came a telegram from Philadelphia that the banking house of J. Cook & Company had failed, in which Mr. Wanamaker had $70,000, which to him at that time in life was a great amount to lose. Soon followed reports of other firms throughout the country, indicating a general panic. As a matter of course, it threw a pall of gloom over the convention, for nearly all of its members were men of business. As an expression of the common feeling, I wrote, "The rock that is higher than I," and the words go like this. Oh, sometimes the shadows are deep, and rough seems the path to the goal. And sorrows sometimes, how they sweep, like tempests down over the soul. Oh, sometimes how long seems the day, and sometimes how weary my feet. But toiling in life's dusty way, the rock's blessed shadow, how sweet. Oh, near to the rock let me keep, if blessings or sorrows prevail, or climbing the mountain way steep, or walking the shadowy vale. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Question. By God's grace alone, through faith alone, have you personally fled to Christ? To the rock that is higher than I? Also, and especially, my friends, at those times when you may feel as if you are at the ends of the earth, physically or figuratively, Also and especially when it seems as if our heart is growing fainter hour by hour and day by day, we are overwhelmed, we are covered over by wave upon wave of sorrow and suffering and problems and pain and trials and tribulations. Are you crying out to Elohim? Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Are you living for Him? The God who loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son so that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The one of whom the Apostle Peter proclaims, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Oh, my friend, if you have never before done so, come to Christ today. Repent of your sins and profess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. And oh, my dear brother, oh, my dear sister in the Lord, if because you feel as if you are at the ends of the earth, if because you feel as if your heart is growing fainter and fainter and fainter, so much so that you have stopped calling out, you have stopped crying out, you have stopped pleading before the God who created you in the name of the Christ who died for you, then renew those prayers. And revitalize those petitions. And keep on personally and passionately and patiently and persistently crying out to God today the very same prayer which David prayed so many years ago. Because you see, then together, along with all of the members of the family of God, near and far, you and I will surely be brought to higher ground, where in time and for all eternity we will surely be found, resting on the rock. Amen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts together in prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. O Lord our God, O Lord Elohim, we pray that by your grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, no matter the particular place in which any one of us may find ourselves today, no matter what our personal predicament may be, we pray that you would lead us, O Heavenly Father, to the protected position of resting on the rock in time and for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.